I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a nation of immigrants, right? Which means that for most of us, history is complicated. There's American history, and then there's the history of our heritage culture. Many of us learn that, too. This past year, Indian Americans in California have been debating Indian history, and Patrick Cox of our podcast, The World in Words, joins me now to explain what is going on with that debate. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Marco. Yeah, California, in the last few months, the state held a series of hearings to decide how to revise world history textbooks. And these hearings turned out to be incredibly contentious. We asked Sonia Paul to look into this. She's Indian American herself. And she talked with a bunch of people, including her own father.
Yeah, just briefly, what are the big bones of contention here with how Indian history is taught?
Well, one of the biggest is caste, you know, the long-established system of classifying people into social and economic groups. Caste is discussed in California textbooks, but some Indian Americans, they haven't been happy about this, as Sonia found out.
All right, let's listen to that.
The origins of the caste system have long been associated with Hinduism. Over time, the system infiltrated other religions in South Asia. And for many millions of Indians, it still exists, holding them back, condemning them, in some cases, to discrimination and poverty. But for many of these Indian Americans, caste is a piece of history. No more, no less.
My name is Suhag Shukla. I am a co-founder of the Hindu American Foundation and now serve as its executive director and legal counsel.
The Hindu American Foundation is a prominent Hindu advocacy group in the U.S., and many of its members are here at this hearing. It was started by second-generation Indian Americans. It's a nonprofit, not formally aligned with any political party, but its views often coincide with those of the current Hindu nationalist government of India, because they both aim to protect Hindus from discrimination and to promote the religion. The foundation seeks to educate Americans about it so that they might think of Hinduism as more than, quote, caste, cows, and curry.
I'm a former California public school student. There were actually a very small percentage of Indian Americans. I was one of only a handful in my graduating class. So in ninth grade, when we covered world history, my teacher had me stand up and asked me three simple questions. What caste are you? Is your marriage arranged? And are your parents saving for your dowry?
Suhag is telling me this after one of the textbook hearings.
Now, you can imagine, like, in a sea of blonde and blue eyes, I was the only brunette, let alone one of the only Indians, to be faced with that sort of question when you already have a different name, when you already look different, when, you know, when you go home or you bring friends over, your parents are speaking a different language and they live very differently, you already feel conscious about your identity and how you're different.
Things have changed, she says. Most things.
We are so much more diverse a society in the United States. There's so much more awareness with different types of people that interact with one another that to still have the types of stereotypes that we see in the textbooks to me is just appalling and shocking.
Right. What do you make of some of the people who went up and claimed that caste doesn't exist? It's not a phenomenon in modern India or modern South Asia. Some people who I guess would be affiliated or assumed to be affiliated with your group are coming out and saying these things. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, our edits and our position on caste, including caste-based discrimination, are fairly public. We have acknowledged that caste-based discrimination is a reality.
But it's not her reality, she says, nor of many Hindus in California.
The way that this whole conversation has been framed is that caste and the practice of caste, without it, you cannot have Hinduism. I'm standing here as a Hindu saying that caste-based discrimination nor the practice of caste is relevant to how I am a Hindu.
The caste system is a fact. It is connected. It's justified in the Hindu scriptures. So whether you like it or not, it's part of the Hindu tradition.
This is Thomas Blum Hansen. He runs the Center for South Asia at Stanford University.
I think it would be irresponsible romanticism to cut that out just to please some parents who may feel uncomfortable today because they have become modern liberal Hindus, that they don't want to be confronted with what's the past and the reality of their own community and how people act and the prejudices that comes with. So the analogy would be like to say, well, there are some white kids who feel uncomfortable hearing about slavery, so we shouldn't teach slavery because really it makes them feel terrible.
Hansen tells me that although America's immigration system attracts mostly higher caste Indians, something unexpected happens to them once they arrive.
What happens when you come to America? All of a sudden, you become another brown minority among a lot of other brown minorities, of which America sees more and more. It's a very common experience that there was a certain unease with this. All of a sudden, having come out of a privileged existence in India, being placed in a sort of middle-class, lower-middle-class position where you, in a sense, have to struggle to be recognized.
And so, in Hansen's view, that's part of what we're seeing in this textbook controversy, an effort to maintain that pride and self-esteem.
To claim a place that is more commensurate with how many in the community actually see themselves, which is heirs to a great and ancient civilization.
All right, Patrick, that's one point of view. What about people who do want the textbooks to discuss caste?
Well, Sonia talked to them too. And one guy in particular who she met at one of those hearings, she went actually to visit him afterwards at his home. His name is Benjamin Kaler, and he's from a Dalit family. That's the lowest caste.
My grandfather was a Hindu, untouchable Hindu. But at that time, untouchability was very prevalent, and he was not able to go anywhere.
Meaning he couldn't get ahead in life. Untouchable is the old word for Dalit. You were untouchable because traditionally it was your role to clean up after others. Dalits held the jobs considered the most impure and were barred from entering the same spaces as dominant caste groups. So Ben's grandfather decided to convert to Christianity. When he grew up, Benjamin worked as a software programmer.
And I have been treated differently.
He was often given the least important tasks and was denied access to technology that would have improved his skills. He decided he wanted to go to the U.S. He figured he could earn more and send money back to Dalit communities in India. Lucky for him, a certain drama was gripping the world at the time.
That bug, that millennium bug. There still
exists a general state of either denial, complacency, or even apathy about both the reality and the potential effects of Y2K.
This fear that computer systems would shut down was a huge deal. A Bay Area company recruited Benjamin, and so he got a work visa. Now, 18 years later, he's still here, still working in IT, and still working with mostly other Indians.
So how open are you about your identity here in the Bay Area?
Not in the offices. Offices, we are not open.
How many Indians are in your office?
Oh, my office, mostly 90% of them are Indians.
According to the Census Bureau, more than 370,000 Indians have moved to California since the year 2000, many of them to Silicon Valley. And many cities in this area, where Ben lives and works, are now super Indian. So it's not that surprising that Benjamin's office is what it is, almost like being back in India in a certain way.
That's my experience. Dalits are one or two, and we don't identify ourselves. I am Benjamin, that's all.
Benjamin, that's all, he says. Just Benjamin.
Sonia Paul reporting for our podcast, The World in Words, which you can get on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And Patrick Cox with The World in Words. Thanks for bringing that story to us.
You're welcome, Marco.